Good morning. I need you to pay attention this morning because we have changed our hymn of preparation. So pull out your bulletin and we will go with our new hymn of preparation this morning. Very good. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. It's a pleasure to see each of you here this morning, and we want to especially welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome here at Main Street and that you will have a meaningful worship experience with us this morning. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street, and as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you'll give us your address and phone number, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. This morning our service will be led by our Salkehatchie team. Main Street had one of the largest crowds, I think, one of the largest groups at the Bamberg camp, and we are very proud of the group that represented Main Street at the Salkehatchie camp this summer, and we look forward to hearing of their experiences this morning during the service. A couple of announcements this morning. Main Streeters are reminded of your program this Thursday, August the 9th at 2:30 p.m., Summer Afternoon Delight. You will be meeting in the fellowship hall and enjoying cake and ice cream and building your own banana split. Highlights of the meeting will include entertainment and a preview of the fall and winter programs and trips. So please call the church office, make reservations for that, and plan to be present at 2:30 this Thursday for that program. Also, next Sunday evening at 6:30, there will be a disciple Bible study informational meeting held in the fellowship hall. If you have not been a part of a disciple study program, this would be a good opportunity for you to come and see what it's all about. If you have never been a part of that, you really don't know what you're missing. Disciple Bible study is something that will really change your life, and we encourage you to be present next Sunday at 6:30 to find out more information about that and what the Bible study schedule will be for this coming fall. Also, school supplies for District 50 children unable to purchase them are being collected by the United Methodist Women. Those are being collected as part of National Night Out, which is August the 7th, Tuesday, October the 7th. There is a box located at the stairs just outside the office in the hallway back there. So if you have anything that you would like to contribute, you can drop it in that box there. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Let us hold fast to what is good. Rejoice in hope. Persevere in prayer. Give joyfully in love. Stand firm in one spirit. Strive side by side with one mind. Worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
On behalf of Main Street's youth group, welcome to Salkahatchee Sunday. A special welcome to our fellow campers from Rock Hill and Gaffney. This morning, you will be able to get a taste of what our Salkahatchee experience was like. Salkahatchee Summer Service is a pioneering servant ministry through the South Carolina United Methodist Conference involving high school and college age youth, adult community leaders, and persons of different cultures in upgrading housing, motivating community cooperative efforts by helping persons to help themselves, and providing all participants with opportunities for spiritual growth and service. Many of our neighbors in South Carolina live in homes needing repair, and Jesus has called to us to love our neighbor. South Carolina United Methodist youth need to experience Christian servanthood. In Luke, Jesus said to all, "If any man would come after me, let me deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The week was not about building houses. It was about building relationships with the homeowner, our site members, and with God. As we continue with worship this morning, we hope that you will open your hearts to see God through us and to be a blessing to you. Let us continue to worship together.
As we move into our time of prayer, let us remember those who are on our ongoing prayer list and those names and whose names we have on our hearts. This prayer comes from Saint Francis of Assisi. Let us pray. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And now we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now we invite the children to come down for children's time.
Good morning, guys. How is everybody? Good? Ready to go back to school? Yes. I heard everybody say yes. I am so proud. You are precious. You are past precious, all of you. Guys, Jesus told a lot of parables. Does anybody know what a parable is? That's a big word. Take a guess. Go ahead. It is. It's a story. It's a short story, and it's got a lesson. So it's kind of like a fable, but not exactly, because a fable has a moral or a lesson, too. Today, I want to kind of go back over one of our favorite parables from the Bible, and that would be the sower and his seeds. Now, a farmer went into his fields to sow some seeds. Does anybody know what sow some seeds might mean in our language today? Yeah, good. It means to plant. Now, if you can sort of imagine three different sections of the field. Now, everybody take your right hand. Your other right. Okay, good. Everybody take your right hand. Pretend you are reaching into your sack with your seeds. And I want you to throw some seeds out in any direction without hitting someone. Ready? Go. All right. That would represent some of the seeds that he threw out, and guess where it fell? It fell in some really rocky, dry soil. Well, what do you guess happened to the seeds that fell into the really rocky, dry soil? You think it grew? No. They just They couldn't get roots. Can you show me with your hands what it would look like if you were a plant and you were trying to develop roots into the ground? So they couldn't do that. All right, now reach back into your bag. You got your seeds? Either hand, doesn't matter. Throw your seeds out in the other direction. Whoosh. Now, that represents the seeds that fell on the soil that had a bunch of thorns. Can you show me with your hands what would thorns look like? They're real sharp and pointed. Get your pointed sharp hands. All right, now, what do you think happened to the seeds that fell into the, it reminds me of the Wicked Witch of the West, into the Wicked Witch of the West soil where it was all thorny and weedy? What do you think happened? They couldn't produce roots. Yeah, they were choked. Show me what it would be to be weed that was choking. They choked, and they couldn't grow. Now, reach one more time. Everybody ready? Reach one more time into your bag of seeds. Ready? Now, throw them out. And this time when you throw them out, I want you to throw them out towards you, towards the congregation. Ready? Oh! Guess what kind of seeds those represent? That's the good seeds. Are you guys the good seeds? I hope so. We're all the good seeds. That's what Jesus wants us to be. So what do you think is going to happen to the good seed on the good soil, or the seed that falls on the good soil? What do you think is going to happen? It's going to grow. Can you show me with your bodies what would happen if you were the good seed and you were growing? You would grow towards the sun, because that's what makes, that's one of the key components to making the plants grow. All right, have a seat. Now, do you guys see all of the boys and the girls and the adults in the purple shirts and the people who came from other towns? I want those people to stand up. If you went to Salkehatchee, if you've ever been to Salkehatchee, I want you to stand up. Thank you. And wave at the children. Okay, now, which seeds, if they were seeds, which seeds or what kind of soil do you think they fell on their trip? The good soil. Okay, y'all can sit down. Thank you. Very good. Now, they spent a week in Bamberg, South Carolina, working on 8 different homes, and it was really, really hot, and it was a lot of work. But guess what they were doing? They were sowing God's seeds by giving of themselves and making a difference in the homeowners' lives. Now, how does all of this relate to you? What does this have anything to do with you guys? Do you think that you can be Salkehatchee youth yet? No, not yet. You got to be, what, 16, Miss Kathy? 14. Oh, not too long. But what can you do? Can you think of something you can do to sow God's seeds in the world now? Can you open the door for somebody who's got a bunch of groceries in their hand? Can you do that? Is there anybody in this group that cannot open a door for someone? Yeah, you can do that. Can you work and could you rake your neighbor's yard? You could if you wanted to, right? Okay, without getting paid. Yeah, you could do that. Could you pick up trash at your school? Could you do that? Yeah, so even the smallest acts are planting the seeds that God wants us to plant wherever we can, whenever we can. Now, one last thing. I want you to raise your hand, and it doesn't matter which hand, if you have done something nice for someone else. Raise your hand. I certainly hope you're going to raise your hands. Okay. Now, it's a trick question, so be careful. I want you to lower your hand if doing something nice for someone made you feel just awful. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Lower your hand if doing something nice for someone else made you feel just completely awful. So everybody's hand should still be what? Raised. Good. Now, Jesus wants us to all plant the seeds of God in all the world to do all of the good we can wherever we can. I'm going to say a prayer. Let's bow our heads, please. Father God, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of taking your word into the world and sharing the good seeds with all we meet. Amen.
Let us greet one another with the love of Jesus Christ and pass the peace of the Lord.
Did you find the stuff we put on our hands?
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah 53. Hear now the word of the Lord. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground, he has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with the rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, if he would render himself as a guilt offering. He will see his offspring, and he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he was poured out himself to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. But yet he bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now let us give of our tithes and offerings. please remain standing for the reading of the gospel? The gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
As I was preparing for Sakahatchee Sunday, I stumbled upon this prayer that I thought was very appropriate for the topic at hand. And I wish that we had it while we were at Sakahatchee, because I know that all of us probably prayed this prayer in some form or fashion every day when we were on the site. It's called A Prayer to a Listening God. And as I pray this, just imagine how a simple prayer as this can be so meaningful at the right time. Let us pray. O God, we labor in the heat of the day, and so often the labor feels hopeless, unproductive, useless. And yet you hear our silent cries. You give us one another to speak that which we in our pain cannot speak. You give us your word that utters those things we cannot find the words to say. And not only do you give us the words to speak, but you also turn your ear to us and hear us, even when all we have strength to whisper is, "Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer." For you have promised to hear us. You have promised to turn your face to shine upon us. You have promised to be our shade when the heat of the day saps our strength and the well of hope runs dry. And you have promised, even in the silence, to give us the sweet sound of peace. Amen.
Hi, I'm Mary Lyle-Smith, and I was on site 4 with Emily Wiedemann this year. The lady Emily and I worked for was nothing short of amazing. Her name was Miss Sapp, and she had battled cancer and had to have her voice box removed. Though she sounds limited to what she could do, you could tell she knew God and that she loved him a lot. We also had the awesome addition of her granddaughter Ashley, who was only 15 years old. She was such a helper to us that week that I half expected to see her every night at church, walking around with all the other campers. After getting off to an awkward start, our group had finally gotten used to each other, and we were having a good experience just being around everybody. As the week went on, I noticed that the camp had a sort of all-around theme that was being out of your comfort zone. And that's what I want to stress the most. The first non-comforting thing that happened this week was we weren't getting to pick our sites. They were assigned to us. So any friends you were really close to probably weren't going to be on your site. The second non-comforting thing I noticed was not involved with the campers, but with the homeowners. They were allowing us into their homes and lives to see the poverty they live around all the time. These people that have nothing to begin with give everything, including their pride, so that they can live a bit more comfortably. When Friday night arrived, I suddenly felt very ashamed of myself. I had felt that it was unfair that I might not have a friend on the site with me, and I probably said some ugly things about how miserable I'd be, or uncomfortable, or lonely. And then I thought of Miss Sapp, who didn't have her husband anymore, no voice to speak with, and no extravagant home to show off to people. Yet she gave us the biggest smiles and warmest welcome she had in her, so that we could feel a little more comfortable too. We would usually get excited at the sight of something like a brand new car, and she cried when she saw her new shower curtains. That night, I realized that when God took me out of my comfort zone completely, I felt more comfort from him than I ever have before. I finally understood what God had been trying to stress to me for so long. I also figured out that if you give up your comforts, you'll gain them back even more.
I'm Colby Tharp, and I was on Site 7. All right. Scurry, Mackenzie, Colby, go wash your hands for dinner. This was a usual announcement every night made by my mother. At the time, I didn't think anything of it. But as of 2 weeks ago on our Salkahatchee trip, I realized that not every family is as fortunate as us. On my site on Salkahatchee Week, I was working on the Schoonover home. This house consisted of an elderly couple, Carol and Don Schoonover, and their grandchildren, Aaron and Brett, who were 7 and 8 years old. This was my second year at Salkahatchee, so I was still new but comfortable at coming into people's houses and repairing them. On that first Sunday, when we visited our houses, I realized something seemed different than last year. As soon as we got into the home, Miss Carol greeted us on her front porch. There was a distinct look on her face as a little boy walked through our circle of people. As soon as Miss Kathy saw this look, she took the little boy, who we found out was Brett, and asked him to show her the house. I was looking at the uneven floors and the holes in the walls and the doors, and a different little boy came up to me and introduced himself as Aaron. He showed Ryan, one of my fellow site members, and me his house. I was shocked when we went into the kitchen and saw thousands of roaches. And when we went to the rooms, there was a foul stench of urine and from the beds. As the tour of our house ended, we rode to a member of the church's home for a pool party to kick off the week. We returned to church for site meetings, and we made our to-do list for the house and the what-to-get list for Fred's. The next morning, we started out how we would start every day of the week, by devotion and prayer. Then we got into groups and hit the house. We tore up the floors and got trash out of the yard. When we started working, Brett and Aaron got so excited and were trying their hardest to help us any way that they could. We started the house with a bang. By lunchtime, all the trash in the yard was picked up, and we were almost finished getting floors out of 2 rooms. As soon as we were done stuffing ourselves with some of the most delicious homemade food, we went back to the house and start back up working. When we went under the house, Coach Dave and Miss Peggy, our site leaders, pointed out that the main joists holding the house were rotten and badly termite-eaten, and that they would definitely need to be replaced. Since there was no room for all of us under the house, Kayla, Philip, and I were determined to get the cockroaches out of the kitchen. This is the case I was talking about earlier when I said how fortunate we were. Kayla, Philip, and I went to Sanders Building Supply and bought more than $50 worth of stuff to kill cockroaches, and there were still hundreds more to kill. After we had given up, we went to help with the floors. I helped cut the wood and put it in the place for new floors. When they didn't need any more help, I decided to get some quality time with Brett and Aaron. I got Sarah's digital camera to take some pictures of them and the guys fixing the floor. I got some good pictures of Wesley cutting up with the kids. They loved him to death. Around the end of the week, we went to Fred's again to get some adhesive tile to finish off the floors. We finished putting the tile down in 3 bedrooms, a hallway, and a living room in 2 days. After we finished the floors, we got 2 new bed frames for the boys and new mattresses, box springs, pillows, pillow covers, sheets, and comforters for the boys and Miss Carol and Mr. Don. Oh, did I mention that we painted Brett's room a bright orange for the General Lee off the Dukes of Hazzard? They were all so happy when we came back Saturday and asked them if they had a good night's sleep in their nice, clean beds. When we had to leave for the last time, everyone on our site was crying because we did not want to leave yet, because we had gotten so comfortable and attached to the family, mainly the boys. I would like to thank Miss Kathy, Mr. Greg, and Kayla, and Wesley for being on my site with me this year. I had a great time with all of you. I would also like to thank Sarah, and William, and Ryan, and Heather, and Philip for being such good friends this week, even though I just met you. I would also like to thank Coach Dave and Miss Peggy for being such great site leaders. I hope I'm on your site next year again. I would also like to thank the congregation for supporting us with all of your donations and prayers.
Hi, I'm Graham, and this was my 4th year at Salkehatchie. And I was on Site 5 along with Ryan Moore and Jessica, and we had a great time. Our site, as soon as we got there, we could tell that God had really put us together to work on this house. We all fit together perfectly. We all made very good friends. The site leader was awesome. He just told us what to do. He never got mad at us, even when we messed up, which was a lot. But we got there, and the house was not in very good shape. We had to build a deck. Her name was Helen Sally. She was the nicest lady I've ever met. Her deck was rotten. You couldn't even walk on it. So we had to completely replace that. That was me and Ryan's job for most of the week. And we built pretty much the best deck I've ever seen. And Jessica and some other were working on the windows. They put in some good windows too. They were good. But we replaced the hot water heater. We fixed some weak spots all around the house. We replaced the toilet and the sink, some shelves. We put linoleum in most of the house. And Helen Sally, our homeowner, when we first got there, we had like a little devotion plan to start off the day. And we did that, and she came out there with us. And we said, "All right, Miss Sally, is there anything you need?" She said, "Let's pray." And she gave us her own devotion. So she was a very spiritual lady. And she showed us her Bible and everything. And by the end of the week, when we were cleaning up and finally ready to show her the house, she was going through saying, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this. Thank you, Jesus. I've been waiting for this for so long." And she had a grandson named Moses. And the whole week, he never really said anything. He was just kind of, you know, "Hey, how's it going?" But the last day, Moses just came out of his shell. He was showing us how to do the moonwalk and the crawls and all kinds of dances. And he was a crazy kid. But I'm going to let Ryan tell you a little more about our site.
I'm Ryan Moore, also from Site 5, The Handful. Helen Sally, and her 2 first names, was probably the most faith-grounded person I've ever met. We cleaned out one of her closets, and all she wanted to have in that room was a big red chair, like the one from Blue's Clues. I don't know if I'm talking to the right age group, but Blue's Clues has, you know, the big red chair, and he does his notebook. She had one of those, and all she wanted to do was read her Bible in that every morning. And every night when we'd leave, she would clean out one of her rooms so we could get in it the next morning. And there was some pretty heavy stuff in there, and she's about 60 years old, and I really don't know how she did it. But we'd come back and like chairs would be on top of other chairs on top of a bunk bed stuffed in this other room. And, I was amazed she didn't like hurt herself and possibly die. I don't know. Our site was also, the best site I've ever been on. Salkehatchie every year, it's a little different, but this year was probably my favorite. We only had one new person, and that was Shelly. And she was not mentally, you know, a carpenter's person. So on Wednesday, when we play all the jokes, getting to find board stretchers, Jeff, our site leader, got a new one. And we had this paint that said paint/primer. And he goes, make sure you stir it the right way as she's opening it. And I looked at him, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But he just looked at me like, go along with it. And she said, what? And he goes, yeah, stir it clockwise for primer and counterclockwise for paint. And she was like, okay. And I'm just, she looked at me, and I was like, yeah, the technology is amazing. And so, you know, I made sure I stirred it clockwise. And I didn't think she really believed him. So we painted the two windows. And I was about to put the ladder away. She goes, all right, here's the paint, sir. Stir it counterclockwise and we'll paint them. I was like, no, Shelly, no. I don't know if she still gets that one. And then Moses was a hilarious little kid. You'll see him in the slideshow. On Friday, I was pretty tired and ready to go home. But with Moses there, it really helped me through it. And it was kind of hard to think of something I learned at Saugatchie because it was such an easy year. But one thing I learned is that when you do everything for the right reasons and you all work together, it is easy. It comes out right. Thank you.
I hope that you feel that it is most appropriate now for us, all youth and all of us, to participate in the service of Holy Communion, the source of the kind of love that has been shared and experienced by our youth at Saugatchie. This kind of love, patient and consistent, is the kind of love that has come into the world through the one Jesus Christ. So let us turn in our hymnals to page 12 for the service of Holy Communion. Earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Will you come? Those who are assist will please come. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Christ given for you, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, the body of Christ given for you, Christ shed for you. Would you come? Oh, excuse me, I didn't give it to you. Did I? Oh, yeah, you have it. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, get over there. We'll start at the outside. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ.
My chains are gone.
To come to you, if you will raise your hand.
Okay, we go back.
now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.